partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Those of you who are frequent listeners to Dr. Youngblood's Let's Face the Issues have recognized that I have sat in for Dr. Youngblood on previous occasions, and it's always an honor and pleasure for me to do so. Just before the break at the top of the hour, we were talking about who is running our country now that Joe Biden, in the last 34 days since he announced that he was not going to run for president, he was no longer the nominee. The past 34 days, he has only been at the White House 6 times. And here's the thing. No one recognized even those 6 days when he was there. And he's gone now. And if it were up to me, don't ever come back. We don't miss you. The same with you and Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris has been on the campaign trail. Nobody's running the White House right now. So what's happening? It's simply running by itself. The established bureaucracy is running things right now, which is dangerous when we see what is going on, not only here in the United States, but around the world. And one of the issues we're going to talk about is this Venezuelan gang that has flooded into the Denver area, and is committing all sorts of crimes. But I understand we have a caller on the line. Jay, what is your question or comment, please?
So I was wondering if I could pray a prayer real quick.
Sure. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the prayer. Jay, I'm going to ask that you make it quick, please.
Yes, sir. So, Father God, I ask that you protect our country and that your perfect will be done in America. You place those in power that you put there, and you take down people that should not be there. And I ask that your perfect will be done in your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jay. Thank you for that prayer. You know,
yes,
that is
sir.
Exactly me. That should be our response to what is going on in our nation today. Christians, we need to pray. If we will humble ourselves and pray, then we know that God will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal the land. Thank you, Jay, for that prayer. Thank you for calling in. And anyone else who would like to call in with your questions or comments, the number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Here's another headline from the New York Post. Violent Venezuelan gang floods Aurora, Colorado. Aurora, Colorado is a suburb of Denver. I'm very familiar with it. I lived in Colorado Springs for 4 years while attending the Air Force Academy. And Aurora at that time was a somewhat affluent neighborhood of Denver, a suburb of Denver. So this is from the New York Post. Denver's decision to welcome migrants with open arms is bringing bloodshed to the suburbs next door. A notorious Venezuelan prison gang has set up shop in Aurora, Colorado. Note that. It's a violent prison gang. So here are these Central American countries who are opening up their prisons, opening up their insane asylums, and sending them to America. And that is what the Biden-Harris administration has been welcoming in. That is what Mayorkas has been allowing into our country. He was rightfully impeached by the Republican House. It was sent over to the Senate, which was supposed to hold a trial, which they never did. They did not do their responsibility. They did not live up to their oath of office, and they should have. Chuck Schumer just said, we're not doing it, and that was it. I don't know how they get away with that, because they are not following the Constitution, which they swore an oath to uphold. They are not following what they should be doing as elected officials. But at any rate, here we have this violent Venezuelan prison gang has set up shop in Aurora, Colorado. Even though the town itself wanted no part of the influx of these invaders seeking in the first place. They call them asylum seekers. They're not asylum seekers. It's an invasion. They wanted no part of it. Aurora, which is a quiet bedroom community with a population of about 390,000, directly east of the mile-high city, Denver, has become a base of operations for the brutal Tren de Aragua gang, which has seized multiple apartment complexes and set off a wave of violent crime. Unbelievable. How do you just seize an apartment complex and start committing? Where are the police? Where's the Colorado National Guard? But where's the federal National Guard to stop this from happening? They have seized multiple apartment complexes and set off a wave of violent crime. Denver leads the nation in new migrant arrivals per capita, with more than 40,000 arriving from the southern border since December of 2022. The city has bent over backwards to provide aid, even slashing emergency services to help foot the cost. So far, estimated at over $68 million and counting. That's just in Denver alone. In February, the Aurora City Council, which is a suburb just outside of Denver, passed a resolution 7-3, emphatically stating that it will not provide resources and support to migrants or others brought in the community from neighboring cities. So here's the Aurora City Council saying, hey, we don't even want them here, and we're not going to provide them with resources. So these thugs just take over apartment complexes, just take them over, move in, they become squatters, just taking over these apartment complexes, multiple apartment complexes, and then committing crime, going out stealing, committing assault and battery, you know, all sorts of crime they've been committing. And it's a crime wave that so far hasn't been addressed, and it needs to. So that was from the New York Post. Reporter Jenny Tayer, the city of Aurora, Colorado, is overrun by this Venezuelan gang, and we are the first to reveal its shot caller, known as Galeta, or Cookie in English, in a region who has been committing crimes all over the region. So here's this Venezuelan prison gang, released from prison in Venezuela, traveled across Mexico in their caravan. By the way, I understand there's another caravan headed this way because they want to get here before Trump is elected in November. So here are this gang, these prison gangs, released from prison by the Venezuelan government. Released from prison, traveling across Mexico, coming into America. They are welcomed in by the Biden-Harris administration, by Mayorkas. They are just welcomed in. Cities in the United States, Denver, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, welcome them in, illegally, by the way, and are spending hundreds of millions of taxpayers' dollars to help these people. And here we have this gang, which is not enough. $68 million alone in Denver they spent, and it's not enough, giving them free food, housing, health care, sending their children to school. It's not enough. So this gang takes over these apartment complexes and starts this crime wave. Unbelievable. And I agree with Trump wholeheartedly. He says, once I'm elected, you're going to see the largest mass deportation in American history. And thank God for that. It needs to be done. I've heard some say, we can't afford to do that. It'll cost too much to deport all those people. It will cost too much to keep them here. It will cost more for them to stay here than it will to deport them. It costs in terms of the education, health care, housing, which must be provided. And so, and food, just to live. And so it's going to cost more if they stay than if we deport them. So I am with President Trump. Deport all those who came in illegally. Send them back to the countries which they came from. And if those countries say, we're not going to take them back, you have no choice. Yes, you are going to take them back. And like President Trump said, and if you don't, you will receive no aid from America. Again, no more funding. And not only just aid, we won't buy your products. We won't buy your fruits and vegetables or whatever else you want to send here. There will be tariffs placed on those. So you will take them back. I see we have another caller on the line. Lee, what is your question or comment, please?
Yeah, I just have a comment. I know that I'm a Republican, by the way, but I know we're dealing with, as we, you know, approach the date of elections. And I know that you made several comments in reference to Kamala Harris. As you're now speaking about the heavy deportation if Trump is elected. Now, I have a question for you. Who will, because if we do a mass deportation, who's going to build America? I know that Mr. Trump is inundated now with some, you know, with plans of continuing to build the wall, especially on the Mexican border. But majority of our buildings, housing, landscaping are done by immigrants. And so when you do that mass deportation, who's going to continue to build America?
Okay, but Lee, you're saying that is done by immigrants. What is your evidence of that?
Because I work in the concrete industry, sir, I am a, you know, I run several plants in Jacksonville, Florida. Majority, actually, predominantly, the contractors are Mexicans and some Venezuelans. Now, as I work with these people every single day, And again, now I'm a Republican. I'm all with, you know, people have to get up and get out and go to work. We should not be given free money. They should have the opportunity to work. If these immigrants are building America, paying taxes, we're taking their taxes, of course, why would we want to do a mass deportation of the ones that are building America?
Lee, the reason, and thank you for those questions, the reason we should do that is because of the rule of law. They came here illegally. We must enforce the rule of law. Now, are there some here on work visas? Fine. You can continue to work. There's nothing wrong with that. That's legal. But if you came here illegally, then no, we have to enforce the rule of law. Who is going to continue then, as you say, do our building? Who's going to do the other things that we see a lot of the migrants doing now? It will be, who was doing it before they came? It was still being done then. Now, it has and been,
I asked you for your evidence of it.
You said you see it. You know, I will admit, here in Pensacola, when we're seeing roofs that are being put on, it looks like those of Hispanic descent who are doing it. We see them everywhere. When we see those who are, at this point, we have Florida Power and Light, who is putting a lot of the electrical cables underground to harden them. And I'm seeing who's doing that. It's those of Mexican, or I don't know if they're Mexican, but Hispanic descent who are doing that. But if they weren't here, someone else would be paid to do that. It's a fact. It's not like it wouldn't get done.
Yes, sir, and I understand what you're saying. Well, this is where my problem is, and I'm going to let you go after I state this. There are many of the immigrants, Mexican descent, Hispanic, Venezuelan descent, they've come here legally with their I-95s or I-94s, I guess that's what it is, dealing with immigration. But if it's left up to Mr. Trump, all the ones that did come here legally have been working. He is looking to deport them. The Dreamers, the ones that were born here by under immigrants, he's looking to deport them as well. And there, and the ones that are with the Doers and Dreamers or Dreamers, they are now of age. They're working. They're viable citizens within our country, doing the work. But yet, and still, in former President Trump's declaration, he wants to get rid of all of them. And I don't think that's fair. Now, again, I'm stating this from a Republican standpoint. So that's all. That's my concerns, and that's my points. So thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely, Lee. Hey, thank you for calling in. How I will respond to that is, I have not heard that President Trump said he is going to deport those who are legally here with work visas. And as I just mentioned, if you are here legally, you haven't broken the law. And yes, you can remain and work as long as you have that work visa. But there are millions who have come here illegally. Those are the ones who need to be deported. A perfect example is this Venezuelan prison gang, which has taken over these apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado. They need to be deported. Now, if those who came here legally and are working, legal immigration is what we need and what we want to have. We should encourage legal immigration. Legal immigration is how our nation was built. It's what it was founded on, and it is how we prosper. It's the illegal immigrants who need to be deported and not staying here. See, we have another caller on the line. Derby, what is your question or comment, please?
I'd like to comment on what Lee had to say. So who's going to build the country? Well, not who, but what? The law of supply and demand. if not enough people want to build houses or fix roofs, then you pay more to those people, and more people will want to build houses. If there were no illegals here, you couldn't go to the lower-paid illegals. You have to go to a well-paid American citizen. So that's supply and demand. If we have to pay more for a house, so be it. But we will be saving lots of money on not paying for their welfare, education, healthcare, all that, which most uneducated immigrants make us pay for.
Exactly, Derby. You raise a good point. When you work with free market capitalism, the law of supply and demand will equate out to how much someone's going to be paid or not paid, and what that cost is going to be. Competition will direct what happens. And excellent point you made, and is what I was saying. How was it being done before all the illegal immigrants came? And again, those who are here on a work visa, you're here legally, but we welcome you. But if you're here illegally, no, we have to return you to where you came from.
I'd like to make one more point. When I came here in 1960, then I graduated from high school in 61. In 1961, I needed a summer job to go to college, and there were no work visas. I simply went with my Methodist preacher to a U.S. post office and said, I want a social security number to work. And that was it. They gave it to me. So anybody who wanted to work could work. There was not an oversupply of illegals or immigrants. It was just people who were here. Then I had a student visa. So with a student visa, I was able to get a social security number and work that summer. And then went back to college and worked the next summer and so forth. So we have a very stupid system that has been corrupted and abused in so many ways. The way things used to be done 60 years ago was a lot better than what is happening today.
That's right, Derby. Derby, I agree with you 100% that it was working before, and that's exactly what the whole Trump movement is about. When it says make America great again, we're saying make America legal. Make America where it is functioning on the free market capitalism, not going towards this socialistic, communistic society that the left is pushing, that has taken over the current Democrat Party. It doesn't work. Free market capitalism, supply and demand is what works, because the only way to get wealthy under capitalism is if you take care of, voluntarily take care of the needs of someone else. You provide either services or products that they want, that they are willing to pay for, and that price is going to be determined by the market, as you said, Derby. That works, and that is how you become wealthy in a free market capitalist society like America was at one time, and for the most part still is, but that's what we want to do to make America great again. Derby, thank you so much. Any other comment?
No, it's okay. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for calling in, Derby. Anyone who would like to call in, the number is 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Here's another headline here from the Washington Post. It says that Lowe's backtracks woke DEI policies after conservative activists threatens to make them public. So from the Washington Post, Lowe's is the latest big company to alter its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies amid pressure from conservative podcast host and activist Robbie Starbuck. Starbuck, who has been waging campaigns against corporate DEI programs, approached Lowe's last week, telling the company he planned to target the home improvement giant over policies such as their employee research groups and donations to Pride events. The company responded Monday with preemptive changes. Now, here's Robbie Starbuck. He's this activist, as he wrote on X. Here are the changes. Ending participation in the woke corporate equality index social credit system. So far, we are winning, and one by one, we will bring sanity back to corporate America. I applaud Robbie Starbuck. He says, so far, we have helped change corporate policy at Tractor Supply, John Deere, Harley-Davidson, Polaris, Indian Motorcycle, and now Lowe's. We are a force to be reckoned with. I appreciate and like what Robbie Starbuck is doing, but I think even more so than what he is doing is that the American public, the American consumer, is getting tired of this DEI woke nonsense. And why? Because the product that is being turned out is not of the quality. It is not as good when you hire somebody based on meritocracy instead of how they look or how they sexually identify. What we need to do instead is to focus on how good at you are performing the job. If you can perform well, we'll hire you, we'll be able to sell a good product, and we'll stay in business. If you cannot perform, I don't care what you look like or what you think about yourself sexually, if you can't perform, you are not going to be hired. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. I appreciate you listening in today. I am going to leave you with this. It's from Psalms 119, 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made thy law void. Have a blessed day, ladies and gentlemen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. We at WTRJ The Truth are happy to tell you about our new shout-out feature on the Truth smartphone app. Now you can encourage others on the air with short testimonies on how this radio station has impacted your life. Maybe a program you heard helped to turn your marriage around, offered some insight on being a better parent, or taught you principles that revolutionized your prayer life.
What I like most about